Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
Fans from every SEC school and beyond. The latest morning headlines and sports talk hosts that call it like they see it. Welcome to the People's Sports Talk Show. Contact the guys at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Now, here's today's edition of Mississippi Sports Today.
Indeed, a very special edition on this Friday, Valentine's Day, inside the Surf Pro Studio, and welcoming our, well, two-thirds of our Friday co-host team, Will Ched Chatterman Kohlmeyer, in the house. Good morning to you, my brother.
Good morning. Yes, happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you.
Yeah.
Feel the love.
Yes, we do. We got a lot of love in this studio, yeah, I guarantee you.
Indeed. Brian Rigby is on assignment in Daytona at the Super Bowl of NASCAR this weekend. We'll be checking in with Brian shortly. Coach Ty Harden from the state champion Tupelo Golden Wave here.
What's up?
You never get tired of that introduction, do you, Coach?
You know, got to move on sooner or later.
Okay. All right. And we have a very special guest. It's so honored and blessed to have my old friend Paul Thorne in with us today.
Yes. Hello. Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
Last guy expected to call me about 2 or 3 days ago. And I'm sitting and I see Paul Thorne on my phone and I said, "What's up? How are you, brother?"
I had run out of friends at that time.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good to have you, man.
It's good to be here, man.
You have so many friends and longtime acquaintances, but fans also in our area that are delighted that you're on with us today. So thank you for coming.
I remember when you was C.J. Hunter.
Yes.
Has that been put to rest?
You have to change, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Kind of what was that guy's name that was your sidekick? I can't remember.
Oh, gosh. We had a lot of sidekicks.
He would ding that little bell all the time. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
You can't remember me.
No, I can't.
Well, as you get a certain age, you can't remember much.
Thank you.
There's a different name they call it, but dementia's probably.
I've forgotten a lot about them old days, buddy. Paul is here. If you'd like to say hello, hit us up on our Elite Realty text line at 331-2508. Maybe most of us got a Paul Thorne memory. I know you do, Will.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because I walked in with Ty, and Ty was like, "Man, I can't," talked about his singing career. But I go way back to when he was a pro boxer.
Mm-hmm.
He was our Joe Frazier, our Muhammad Ali here in North Mississippi. And those were fun times, Paul, going back. Every time I see Paul, I think about those boxing days. You maybe don't. Maybe not so much, or what do you think?
Oh, I think about the memories we had, like when I fought at the fairgrounds in Tupelo.
Who was that again? It was like Yo? Something
Ronnie,
Yo?
Ronnie Yo.
Ronnie Yo.
I could remember that.
Yeah, Ronnie Yo. He was that was something. And you would always come out and you'd interview me after the fights. And you had hair then.
I had hair. Boy, those were good days. I'm telling you. Did have all these wrinkles.
Both of you did.
But these wrinkles weren't anywhere to be found.
But God blessed you with a good-looking skull like me.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you. Yes, he blessed us in a lot of areas, and now including the skull. Yeah.
How many people approach you about the boxing as opposed to, if you've been in music now for decades, but is it still going on?
Mostly older people. They remember seeing me fight, and the fight I'm most known for is a fight that I lost, which is in 1988 I fought Roberto Duran on national TV.
And, we were there.
I gave a good account of myself, but when you can be really good at something, but there's other people that are great at something, and that was the difference. I was very good, but Duran was great, and after 6 rounds I was so cut up they stopped the fight. But I'm probably the only person in this studio that can say that they actually rode in the back of an ambulance with Roberto Duran. We both had to ride in the same ambulance because I got some punches in. I busted his eye open, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah. There you go.
And, hang the hat on. Yeah.
None of us have done that, Paul. That's good.
I actually reached out to Duran. He plays congas in a salsa band. And I reached out to him to play on my album, one of my previous albums. And he actually wanted to do it, but he had something else going on. But that's my bucket list thing.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I want to get Duran to play on one of my records.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, you have a new release coming out a week from today.
Yeah.
Title is Life is a Vapor.
Life is just a vapor, yeah. It's a scripture out of the Bible. But, you know, it's just like it really fits this moment we're in right now. When I knew Will and saw him a lot more than I do now, we were younger men. But now we're older men, but we're still here. And it's went by so quick. Boom, boom, boom. And now you got a son that's almost the same age as when I knew you first.
That's not his son.
So like, what's that? Yeah, this ain't your son? Y'all lied to me. Y'all lied.
I just have one son, just Colin. But Ty, I look at him as family.
I knew you wasn't a daddy.
Well, I'm not nearly as good looking as Ty. You knew
that's
that.
Why I said that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Boy, there's some shots to the game. You can tell today's opening day for baseball because he's hitting some out of the ballpark on me this morning.
I'm just thinking of the music I listened to when I was in college that was on his albums. You know, that's what I remember. Yeah. You know, me and my roommates, one of my best friends, Neil Alford, lives in Tupelo now. I remember he introduced me to the Pimps and Preachers.
Oh, wow.
A soundtrack. I mean, it was. Yeah. It was awesome.
2010.
That was 2007,
It may be my favorite of all. How many have you done? I know you've done about a dozen on your own label, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done 14 records on my own label.
Okay.
I've been independent my whole career, and I've been able to do this without having to go back and get a day job. I'm very thankful for the path I've been able to go down.
And we talked about, you know, Life is just a Vapor coming out in a week, and it'll be a worldwide release. You're also playing how many shows? You tell me you're playing this.
I do about 130 shows a year.
Gosh.
And I never hardly ever play around here. The only thing I do locally is once a year I do a benefit concert for Regional Rehab out of Stephen Holland's place. Mm. But for the most part, I never play around here. But there's going to be a show in Columbus at the Cromwell Theater March the 1st, and it's going to be two shows in one day, a 5 o'clock show and an 8 o'clock show. And that's the closest I've played with in a long time.
Really is. Yeah. And that's on March 1st.
Yeah.
Down at the campus of the W, and getting tickets is easy, and you still have some available, as I understand, for the second show.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm looking forward to that because, like, you know, just I didn't know Will and this gentleman were coming today, but it was a pleasant surprise, and I really lit up my spirit. And
seeing me was not enough.
Well, you're at a whole different level, man. Yes. You know, yeah, but I didn't say what that level was up or down.
I said
different level. It could be
kept
high
it generic.
Or
lower.
Yeah. But one thing I do like about coming and getting to play in my hometown is I get to see a lot of people that I never see, because there's a few, you know, in today's world, you know, it's when you're putting a record out or putting anything out, there's so much content that you're just a needle in a haystack. So the fact that some people will still come out from my hometown and see me, and I get to see them, that's the big payoff. It's just like seeing you and Will today, and this gentleman I just met today,
Coach Ty,
who I thought was his son, but I said, there ain't no way that's his kid.
No way.
But anyway, it's a joy, and then I wasn't expecting nothing, and then they threw in an Egg McMuffin.
Yeah,
that's right. Only the best, my friend. Yeah. Valentine's.
But yeah, I'm excited about the show, man, and I've got a great band. I've had the same band for 25 years.
Yeah.
And we've been able to keep this thing going. And
I want to shout out Michael because he's a longtime friend too. And
Michael Graham, my keyboard player. I met Michael when he was working at Pro Concerts, and I was working at People Loungers in the Furniture Factory in Nettleton. And after all this time, we've been together in a band, and he's like my brother. And he's irreplaceable. I hope he hears this. But I tell him to his face how much I love him. It's important.
Yeah.
And I try to show it.
Great guy.
He is.
Great sense of humor. Michael, hope you're listening today. I was yesterday talking to Jeff Spencer about you guys and all the great memories. And Jeff's another guy that says hello.
I love him. He's a great guitar player.
Indeed. Sure yep. is. Look at all these nice texts we've got.
I bet it's lighting up.
It's lighting up our Elite Realty text line. Nathan says, Memphis wrestling fan, are you?
You better believe it.
How could you not be?
Man, yeah. That I watch so much. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Sting
or something?
No. I am so into Memphis wrestling. I get on YouTube all the time, and I watch old Memphis wrestling from the 70s and 80s. And I actually own a Jerry the King Lawler signed crown that I got through a friend. So I'm a huge fan of that, yeah.
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite character of those?
My favorite thing of all wrestling is the feud between Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, the Letterman.
That will never be replicated. Yeah,
the famous Letterman slap.
Yeah. It was so good because they made the people believe it was real. They
sure
thought
did.
It was real, man.
Yeah.
And
all right, let's move on. Here's one. I taught Paul's daughter, Kit, at Amory, a beautiful young lady and so much musical talent.
Well,
not sure who that is, but
I don't know who the lady is, but she told the truth. My daughter's a very talented singer-songwriter, and she's currently teaching music. But thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Okay. Another memory here. I'm good friends with Paul's nephew, Jason. Back in the day at Mooreville, I remember putting on one of Paul's boxing gloves, and almost went to my shoulder. Paul is a tough guy, and has a great family. Jared said hello.
Well, thank you, Jared.
I recall Paul doing crunches on a piece of cardboard during his 10-minute breaks back in the day at People Lounger.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, my goodness.
That is true.
Getting some reps.
Yeah, I would either be doing sit-ups on my break, or I'd be writing down song ideas on a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, Paul's a collector, artist, and an athlete. Quite a trifecta, I mean, to say the least. You had an. I'm not sure if Pails and Ale's still going on.
I hadn't done any of those in a while, but I had an interview show I did for a while, but I got other things I'm doing. But yeah, I got to interview some really neat and interesting
Kingfish people. Was one of my favorites.
Kingfish, yeah. I interviewed Keb Moe, all kind of people.
Yeah, you can find those on Paul's website. It's probably a link to those YouTube shows and so forth. All right. And then another one. Big Paul Thorne fan heard him sing at Vanelli's. Kind of where it all started, didn't it?
Yes, sir. That's where I got discovered. Back in the day when I was working at People Loungers, like a lot of artists, I would send out cassettes to anybody I thought maybe had some pull. And one of them got into the hands of Miles Copeland, who was the manager of Sting and the Police. And he got one of my tapes. And he sent one of his representatives down to Vanelli's in Tupelo, Mississippi, to hear me playing in the corner with my acoustic guitar. And to make a long story short, when I took a break, I got offered a publishing deal and a record deal and all this stuff. And so within 2 weeks of that guy coming, I quit my day job. They gave me money to live on. And because I came from a Pentecostal household, we were not allowed to go to secular concerts. So the very first concert I went to in my life, I was opening for Sting in Nashville. And I had never been in front of anything like that. But people always say, weren't you nervous? And I really wasn't, because all my life I had been singing in church. So to me, it just like when I opened up for Sting, it was like it was just a larger congregation. I was already prepared, and I didn't know it. I went out there with my acoustic guitar, just like I did at Vanelli's, and thank God, the people dug what I did.
Yeah.
And so I wound up getting a whole tour opening up for Sting. And when the people come to see me play, well, they didn't come to see me play when I was going out with Sting. I was just like, I'd walk on the stage, and they'd go, who is this guy? But luckily, they loved what I did. And when that tour was over, the guitar player, Jeff Beck, heard about me, and he asked me to go on tour with him. So I went on tour in the States and all over Europe with Jeff Beck. And then when all that was done, our strategy was to go back into those same cities that I had played 6 months prior. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those people that went to see Sting not all of them, but a lot of them came to see me. And so I built my audience on the tailcoat of other big artists, which it led to, I did a tour with Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits, and I did a tour with Bonnie Raitt. I did a tour with Toby Keith, and it was all these people were giving me this chance to get in front of people. And I built my career on that. And even now, if somebody's bigger than me and sells more tickets than me, I'll go in front of them. I would love to go in front of them because I'm not stealing people from them. I'm just sharing their fans, and they keep coming back.
Well, I remember a few years ago I was in Tulsa, and down by Kane's Ballroom, a place I'm sure you know.
I played it many times.
Walking up, and there's a big poster. As a matter of fact, there were several posters. Paul Thorne appearing on such and such date, and I was like, wow.
Yeah. It's weird, man. People come up to me all the time, and they say stuff like that. They'll say, I was in Bloomtown, Washington, or whatever, and they'll say, I saw your picture on the wall. And what people don't realize, and how could they? Because, like I said, there's so much content to know. You don't know what everybody's doing, but I've been a national touring artist for a long time, and it surprises them when they see a picture of me somewhere else.
And we're talking about Delaware, Pennsylvania. You have dates coming up, obviously Nashville, but you go out to Texas. Is there an area of the country that sort of receives you better, or you sort of feel, more?
Well, I love all the places I play, but for some reason, I seem to have the biggest following out in California. Yeah. The people that don't eat black-eyed peas soaked in grease, they love me.
Paul Thorne, our guest today. Yeah, say hello at 331-2508. There's always that. I mean, one of the most unique songwriters, I think we'll all agree, in that you lay a lot of wisdom out there, but you simplify it and you speak our language.
Yeah, well, my songs are not, a lot of songs you hear, the lyrics are abstract and they sound good, but you don't know what they're saying. But I like the simplicity of great writers like Hank Williams Sr. Like the song, I'm So Lonesome, I Could Cry. You ain't got to say nothing else.
No.
That one thing, and that every human being knows what that feels like.
Yeah.
And I try to emulate that in what I do and make it. I like my songs to be like a Dick and Jane book. They're so simple.
Yeah. Layman's terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Keep it simple. Beatles did, that.
They'll
too,
show a picture of Spot. They'll have a picture of Spot, and on the other page it says, See Spot. How hard is that?
Well, these days, that's what I told my son. He's just 20, about to be 21. But back then in the 70s and 80s, there were actually lyrics that you could, it told a story. Nowadays, it's just
absolutely
music.
And yeah.
Here's a simple text just came across. I don't like half the folks I love.
Yeah, that's a popular song that people request. I almost have to do it in every show because a simple statement. I don't like half the folks I love. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, visualize the last family Christmas you went to.
Right. Yeah.
Where you wanted to get out of there.
We're getting deep. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I told Ty we would get, he could do it all. The skill set that Paul, you've been blessed, partner. I mean, obviously you talked about your stories and the Lord was working behind the scenes, wasn't he, all those years? And
yes.
But you, the skill set is crazy that you were a pro boxer, then you became a top elite musician. I mean, for people that don't remember back then in your boxing days, talk about that whole transition from, when did you decide, okay, maybe boxing not, and then, I know you talked about a couple of the stories, but, that's kind of a totally different career path.
I can tell you what happened. When I fought Duran, and I lost, after I fought Duran, I had three more fights, and I won them all, but they were against lesser quality opposition, and at some point, I realized that I wasn't going to be a world champion. I realized that I was good, but I also realized I was not great. And so a lot of naysayers, they'll say something like, well, why'd you quit boxing? But I didn't quit. I took it as far as I could take it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference.
It sure is.
And so once I realized I couldn't win at the elite level, I had a lot of things I could be proud of. I made a memory. I gave a gallant effort. And there ain't no shame in that. And so a lot of folks, like Duran himself, he fought too long. Because you know why? That's the, he had nothing to fall back on. He was a pure fighter, 1,000%. And so that's why in his later career he was getting beat up by guys that he could have whooped with one hand 10 years ago. He was not able to let go. But I was fortunate enough that I had another skill that God blessed me with that I could develop. And so when I left boxing, I wasn't without something. I had something I could go to. And so that's why it was easier for me. I realized that I was not a great fighter like Duran. So let's do this.
Yeah. And we
very successful.
You talk about multi, you know, talented and skill set. We haven't even touched on the art. And your great album covers, all the characters you've created, the Miscaster guitar that you designed.
Yeah. Yeah, art's always been my hobby. You know, I'm dyslexic, and I had a hard time in school, and it was back before they even knew what dyslexia was. And for some reason, when I was having a hard time in school and getting picked at, and, you know, I failed the sixth grade, a lot of traumatic things happening, and you know, and getting confused in class while my classmates, I was looking at them, and it was easy for them, but it was hard for me. But I had this ability to draw, and when I started drawing, I escaped from that, and I became. And this is something I could do really good, and I found out that they couldn't do it. So it's like whatever you ain't got, you did get something that they didn't get, and so I just became art is something that's good for my spirit, and I don't do it to sell. I've sold some stuff, but that's not my goal. I just do it because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. We're so glad to have Paul Thorne with us today. If you have a question or just a comment or a memory with Paul, say hello at 331-2508 in the Sir Pro Studio with Cheddar. Ty Harden, we're going to come back, talk a little sports, catch you up on. We normally do that this hour, but it's special. Exactly. Valentine's. Oh, yeah. We got the candles lit, you know, we got the dim lighting, bearskin rug.
We're talking Paul Thorne versus Roberto Duran.
I'm not interested. Craig, I'm not interested. I don't float like that.
It's a hard pass, Paul says.
Back after this.
Give them flowers to somebody else.
Looking for a deal on the best burger you've ever had? It's BOGO Mania at B-Dubs. On Mondays and Wednesdays, get one Buffalo Wild Wings burger and get one free. Tuesday is BOGO Traditional Wings. Buy one and get 50% off. And Thursday is BOGO Free Boneless. Buy one, get one free. Burgers Mondays and Wednesdays, Traditional Wings on Tuesday, and Boneless on Thursday. Hurry, it's a limited time offer. It's BOGO Mania, only at Buffalo Wild Wings in the Tupelo Commons.
Hotty toddy.
Swung on, fly ball, right field. That's a jack. It's gone. Showers it. Swing and a miss. He struck him out.
This is Ole Miss Baseball.
Mix it up, bare hands, throws the first. He got him. He got him. I can't believe it.
Catch all the action right here on your home for Rebels Baseball.
Your Hotty Toddy Station, Super Talk 101.9. It's Bobby Bascom from Automedic. Bobby, when you say we speak the language, what does that mean?
Just that, Craig. We speak foreign imports language, specializing in BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Lexus.
You mean you speak BMW?
Wir sprechen Deutsch.
Gesundheit!
Translation? We speak German imports, and we're local, so there's no need to drive hours to your dealer. Automedic 3552, Jeff Homan Boulevard in Tupelo. Reach us at 844-9379. We speak the language at Automedic.
Hi, this is Brian Rigby, owner of ServPro of Tupelo. ServPro is the nation's leader in cleaning and restoration. But here at home, we're more than that. We're neighbors helping neighbors, friends taking care of friends. Whether it's storm, flood, or fire damage, our pros will make it like it never even happened. Our staff has over 150 years combined experience in residential and commercial projects. Visit ServPro.com or call 690-6502. ServPro of Tupelo, here in your community, here to help.
Join hands with us as we fill the bowls of the less fortunate at the 2025 Empty Bowls Luncheon on Wednesday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Tupelo Furniture Market Building 5 or the Canteen at Renaissance Bank downtown. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased at Midnight Pottery, Sweet Tea and Biscuits, Room to Room Furniture, Wakefield Jewelry, Stones Jewelry, Reed's Bookstore, or Social Services at the Salvation Army. There'll be a bake sale and items for purchase at Steals and Deals. Proceeds benefit our local Salvation Army. For more information or to volunteer, call Lisa at 662-213-7596.
What are you people?
Who are you?
Featuring a different lineup of hosts every day. And your comments on the Elite Realty text line. This is the People's Sports Talk Show. Now, back to more of Mississippi Sports Today on Super Talk 101.9.
Better believe the People's Sports Show back with a very special guest today alongside Will Colmeyer and head coach Ty Harden. Singer-songwriter Paul Thorne. Former winner of the Oklahoma Talent Show, as I understand.
Yeah, man.
Talent show.
That was a pivotal moment, man, because, as I said earlier, I had a hard time in school, had low self-esteem, but they had a talent show. I think it was the eighth grade, and I sang a Lionel Richie song, Three Times a Lady.
Oh, man,
and
yeah.
All of a sudden, I went from being the social outcast to being the most desired boy on the playground. And it just changed my life. When I started playing music in front of females, I figured it out.
Yes.
And, you know, everything men do is to get the female. Let's just put that
right
on the table.
Yeah.
When these boys
It's a sport of a different sort. Yeah, this is a sports show, Paul, but that is a sport of a different sort.
It's like,
yes.
It's like when them boys are playing football, you know, and you watching them out there. If they make a good tackle or something, they'll instantly look at the girl they like, and they'll be going, did you see what I just did? I'm the dominant male. Procreate with me. You know what I mean?
Alpha. Exactly. I'm the alpha. Yeah.
The alpha.
Right.
I'm not sure the word procreate is
Chickasaw County stand up.
Procreate is appropriate anywhere.
It is. Yeah. All right. Well, let's shift gears to Daytona at the Daytona International Speedway, where our buddy Brian Rigby is listening to all this from the infield there. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. That's a great conversation there.
Yeah, it's, we could spend 5 hours with Paul, but we're glad that you're checking in with us today. I know that we had a little technical difficulty on getting our feed in, but the duels were last night, and Charlie's man, Bubba, took one of the trophies, didn't he?
He did. Bubba Wallace won a duel, and so it was a pretty bland racing. But there was a couple big crashes. Obviously, the duels is seating the one duel seats the even number starting lineup. One duel is the starting places for the odd numbers, and then obviously the charter. Races or charter teams are in the race, and then the non-charter teams were racing for a spot to race in the Daytona 500. The big story last night was Justin Allgaier from Junior Motorsports. He was able to secure one of two spots that will race in the Daytona 500 come Sunday.
I saw Dale Jr. interviewed, and he was at tears, man, because he's finally got a cup car, and this meant a lot to him. And so that was the big deal last night, the guys that played their way in, sort of, right?
Yeah. I mean, because you just don't come and pay money to get in. You have to either be a charter team or race your way in. And it's kind of odd to hear that Junior Motorsports team was not a charter member. But they did have to race their way in and were successful in doing so.
Paul, you've got a NASCAR connection that you told us about earlier. Share that with
Listen
Brian.
To this one, Brian.
I love it.
My father-in-law was Dale Earnhardt's landscaper, and he designed Burt Reynolds' toupees, if you can put them two things together.
Okay.
It's impressive.
Smokey and the Bandit and Dale. Okay, all right, there you go.
No one has ever put that sentence together.
No.
In the history of the English language.
It's a heck of a sentence.
What a claim to fame.
I've got pictures at the house of him and Dale and stuff. Yeah, he was a big Dale Earnhardt fan.
That's that.
I was too. Everybody was.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, what's the crowd like down there? Obviously, folks are kind of coming in on a daily down there, but I know you guys are right in the middle of it.
Yeah, crowd is good this year. and had a pretty good front came through last night. I think it's what folks in North Mississippi has been battling for the last couple of days, but it blew through last night, so we had some rain. But today we got some sunshine and clear skies, and everybody's getting ready for the truck races tonight. So hopefully the weather will be good for us this year. And, you know, in the South, especially in Florida, you never know what the weather's going to bring you.
Yeah.
What about the vibe, Brian, down there? I know you've been doing this for quite a few years with Charlie and some of the other fellas, but compare this maybe to other years.
Honestly, I think the vibe is a little bit lower here at Daytona this year. I don't know if this is something that is a NASCAR thing or if it's a Daytona thing, but there's been some rule changes, and you know, even how we got in yesterday was a little bit troublesome. So you know, that it, like most events, they'll you know mess up some stuff that is really really good and easy and convenient. But it will be interesting to see how the weekend builds and up to the big moment when it comes. Race day on Sunday, but there's a lot of kind of negative air around Daytona that I've never felt before, but that's not, it has nothing to do with the actual race that will be happening each night.
Well, we've got some newcomers, it seems, on the front line, Brian, in this particular race on Sunday. So do you have you guys got a favorite that you've picked out as sort of the guy to beat?
Man, you know, it's the only person in recent years that has went back to back has been Denny Hamlin. William Byron obviously will be a favorite. You know, if you can just go down the list, Ross Chastain. Being a super speedway, something a Mississippi guy, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., really does well here in Talladega. I would say the last six of seven races, the winner has come outside the top 10. So starting position doesn't matter. Obviously, it is better to run up front most of the race because you can stay away from the big wreck. So running out in clean air and running in front of the pack helps just to avoid wrecks and that nature. But, you know, it's always going to come down to the last five laps. And it just seems to be in recent years you don't want to be leading the next to the last lap because it's probably not a spot you will end up.
Yeah, somebody going to come get you. Yeah.
They always
Brian,
do.
Brian, y'all enjoy the trucks tonight, the rest of the weekend. We hope you have great weather, and we appreciate you checking in with us today. We would visit longer if we didn't have a full house.
Celebrity.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Well, y'all have a great time, Brian, and we'll see you when you get back, my
have
friend.
Have fun.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend. Yeah,
thank you, Brian. Brian Rigby from Daytona. He said something that you wrote a song about the starting line.
Yeah, I wrote a song called Everybody Looks Good at the Starting Line. I actually got that from a TV preacher. It was the name of Creflo Dollar.
I've seen him, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about how people had started sending in their pledge every month, money, but then they stopped. She said, everybody looks good at the starting line. And he was using it in the wrong way, in my opinion. But, you know, looking good on the starting line, it's like, you remember the Gumtree run?
Oh, yeah.
I used to get in that all the time. And there'd be people that would get in the run. They'd get in a race, and they would literally run 50 yards as fast as they could, and then they'd start walking.
Yeah.
And then they walk the whole time and then sprint in as if they did something.
The whole time, yeah. Yeah. They ran the whole time, yeah. They saw the cameras, man. They wanted to put on a show.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so me. That every year. Here's a note. I recall Paul's first local concert on Front Street. Tupelo Tornado played there that season with Steve Dillard coaching.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's way back. That's turning the clock way back.
That's when I got my record deal on A&M Records. It was locally. It was good. It was big news and everything. And I did a little concert out there. It was I was green as grass, you know, and didn't know anything. But it was a nice. It was a nice moment. And it was right there on there was a baseball field right there.
Yes.
And I was told that there was people buried there that died in the tornado that happened a long time ago. People that they couldn't identify, they just pushed them all in this big. This is, sounds awful, but there was different times. They pushed them all in this this lake, and then they covered it up.
Never knew that. Lived there all these years, and I never heard. That's wow.
Don't quote me on that.
But I'm not going to quote you. Won't quote you.
But that's what I was told.
Yeah. All right, here's another listener with a very special memory on this Valentine's Day. How cool is this? Paul let me propose 17 years ago today on Valentine's Day to my wife at the Lyric in Tupelo at one of his concerts. He did make a stipulation up front. He wanted me to be sure she would say yes. His exact words were, "You, me, and 400 other people are going to be really bummed out if she says no."
Yeah. Well, all throughout my career, I've had people ask me to propose on stage, and I let them do it. You know, because if you're going to ask a woman to marry you, you should know what the answer is. It's just a ceremony, basically. But yeah, I've never had one woman turn a man down. So
okay,
but good luck, Charm.
But I always give them a disclaimer though that if it don't work out, it ain't my fault.
That's right.
You also don't want to kill the vibe for the whole night, right?
That's right. Yeah. Oh. Man, what a horrible thing that would be.
Rally killer.
Yeah. Yeah. But that I would have to blame whoever that man was because you ought to be able to read the room.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you're thinking she's going to hang out with you the rest of your life and you swing and miss.
Yeah,
that's not good.
I think I've actually seen that at a baseball game, you know, like a major league game. A guy popped the question,
and she hesitates.
And she sort of just said,
"Oh boy,
that's him. That's on him."
Right? Yeah, that's his fault.
You ought to know something like that.
Exactly.
It's called a scouting report, right, Coach? Yeah. You got to have scouting reports.
You got to know that you know that you know.
A couple of notes here. Glad to see Junior Carr make it in the 500. Good looking car. Thank you. And they also, number 9, Napa Chevrolet for the Daytona win. Another fan of Chase Elliott there.
Yeah, he had a nice win a couple
weeks ago. Guys, let's go over a couple of things. I want to give you a couple of nuggets from last night's State's thrilling 2-overtime win over Vanderbilt on the road. Mississippi State women get it done, 85-77. Here's the one of the stat lines that blew my mind. They went 2 of 27 from 3 points.
They couldn't hit from distance, but they had Okot, this – I think she's like 6'6".
Beast.
Yes, had 21 points, I think 23 rebounds. Remember McCowan that helped lead Mississippi State to those finals a few years back with Coach Schaefer? She reminds me so much of her. Where's the same number, number 15? And she was the difference inside because they couldn't hit anything
inside,
from
because
outside.
Because of the rebounds is why they
won. Yeah. Right.
65 rebounds to Vandy's 43. I don't care if you know, 2 for 27, whatever. We're getting all the boards. But, I mean, at some point at 2 for 27, do you not go, hey – Let's not. It's not our night out there.
They might have been using it as a pass, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, that's exactly right. They just throw it up there and then just crash
get
the boards.
Get the rebound anyway. Ole Miss had a win last night on the road over Arkansas in a convincing fashion, 89-50. The Rebels led 48-23 at halftime. They did shoot well from beyond the arc at 47.6%, and they won the rebounding battle 53-29. So a big road win, 8-4 now the Rebels. In conference play. Tomorrow, showdown in the SEC. A showdown Saturday, Will.
It sure is. A lot of interstate big rivalries. You've got the Egg Bowl basketball version over in Oxford at 5 o'clock with number 22 Mississippi State and number 19 Ole Miss. And then right across state lines, you've got in Tuscaloosa, you've got number 1 Auburn at number 2 Alabama. That'll start at 3 o'clock, and those are, of course, the two highlighters.
And I think that's the fifth time in history where a number 1 and number 2 from in-state play each other.
That's a nice nugget.
It was pointed out they've never done it in football either.
Right.
They've been close, you know, top 5 and so forth. Paul, you have an allegiance to a college team at all?
Well, my daughter graduated from Ole Miss, but I didn't go to college, so I don't have that experience. So I'm kind of neutral, to be honest with you.
No, great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look now at the baseball season opening today. You may have been informed already. If not, 11:30 today for Mississippi State. A double dip at the Dude, Will.
Yep, against the Jaspers from Manhattan with, of course, the weather. That's expected tomorrow, and hopefully it won't be as nasty as what the meteorologists are talking about. But yes, so they're playing 2 today at the Dude. Mississippi State ranked top 20 in the preseason polls.
Yep. Ole Miss will take on number 21 Arizona in Arlington. The first pitch for that game at 3. We'll have the pregame for you right here at 2:30 on Super Talk. Ton of obviously every SEC team in action. We won't go through the whole list, but one of the games that kind of stuck out to me, Elon at number 1, Texas A&M this weekend.
How about that?
The Fighting Musk. Is that their mascot?
I don't think Elon's don't think name. So. No, but it wouldn't be bad. But I'm.
If you wouldn't have made that up, I could have told you.
Where's Elon? Is it North Carolina?
Elon,
I think they're the Flames or something.
Okay. But I think it's in North Carolina. One. I like saying. Can I talk about the Georgia? I like saying this college's name,
Quinnipiac.
Isn't that a fun name to? Isn't that a fun name to say, Paul?
Sure.
Quinnipiac.
And they're playing there. Where? What state are
that's
they?
That's up
in?
There in the Northeast. That's why I don't quite understand. And they're really good. Yeah. They've been getting better and better in college hockey, but I don't really think of them as a baseball powerhouse. So I would think number 8 Georgia would have some fun with them.
Right. Missouri and Penn State are smart. They're playing in the Puerto Rico Challenge.
Yeah.
This
go south, my fun. Friend. It's February.
Indeed.
Yep.
I want to talk to Paul about his new release that'll be out. Life is just a vapor.
Right.
A week from today. And how do you, I mean, you've had Perpetual Obscurity, your label, for a long time now.
Right.
And what's the challenges of coming out and with a worldwide release without a major label behind you, man?
Well, the challenge is, as I said earlier, there's so much content now. You know, like when we was growing up, we had 9 Alive, Channel 4, and PBS, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, yes.
But now you got a million options, and it's so hard to get attention on anything. But what we do every time is what we always do. We hire publicists, you know, and you try to get into anything you can get in. You know, get in a Rolling Stone interview or anything like that. But technologies like CDs and stuff, they're going away. They're almost gone, you know. So we still sell a few of those, but I make my my living off touring and selling merchandise and getting on social media. I do Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and you go on there and you present yourself and you try to collect followers.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you can say, like I've only recently gotten on TikTok and I got about 4,000 followers, but when you're scrolling, you'll come up on, just for example, you might see an attractive girl and she's got her phone set up in a coffee shop and she's filming herself make coffee, and that's all she's doing.
Right.
And you flip over there and she's got 1 million followers.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
I mean, you can put up the most insane thing and get a million followers, and you could put up the greatest song that's ever been written, and just people scroll.
Kid
by
doing a Rubik's cube,
right?
It's 10 million.
But the main thing you got to do is you got to show up. That's our rule. Show up. You know, when that means not just show up physically, show up, be present. You know, get on it. I try to make content. You know, I try to not mail my shows in. I don't mail my shows in. When my shows is done, every night after show, the next day when we're riding down the road, me and the band could critique the show, and we pat each other on the back. We do something good, but we point out something that needs to be fixed. And so I guess the answer is just go through life of showing up.
Coach?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Our number one rule with our guys every day is be there. You know,
that's
be
right.
Here. You can't get better if you're not here.
That's
you
right.
Know? I mean, it's when you're here, we can coach you and we can push you. But if you're not here, what are you doing? You know,
you're just getting a participation trophy.
That's right. And the fact
which means nothing.
No,
I like the fact that y'all sit down and critique after every show.
Yeah.
Even it's probably the best show. If you can find something to improve on, that's huge.
Well, the way the ladies in the front give us that validation. We don't need it from each other.
There you go. The smiles say it all.
To this
there
day,
you go.
Right? Yeah. It's probably getting worse
my
for
fan,
you.
Well, my fans are middle-aged, mostly middle-aged to old people. And there's still fans, you know, female fans that come up to the front of the stage. And it's different, though. They wear something called a doggy bra. Have you heard of that?
No.
It makes a pointer have a sitter. And so... So that's what I'm dealing with now. And so that's why I show up.
On that note, one of our listeners says Paul has a third career. He could open for Kevin Hart. Dude is funny. No doubt about it. My grandma lived through that tornado. She told me the same story like Paul heard.
Man of swamp. I think that's something. But what a horrific thing to have to do.
Yeah.
After a devastating thing like that.
I think
that,
they used the lyric as like a hospital, makeshift hospital, too.
I don't know.
A lot of folks didn't make it out of that area. Man, that's tough.
That tornado was epic, wasn't it?
Yep, 1936. And the folks that were around, that are still around, it's always, you know, this speaks to sort of like what you do. Talk to those people, hear their stories, and you're so enriched by other people's experiences.
Absolutely. You know, there's that's where I get my songs from. The songs are everywhere. You just got to be open to them. You know, it's like when I heard that preacher say, "Everybody looks good at the starting line." The minute he said that, I said, "That's a song."
That's a song.
The songs are floating around. I guess if I have a talent, it's to be able to recognize that they're there.
I was going
to
ask you about that earlier, and I was trying to find the right time to ask you. But where it comes from? Do you have like when I watch a game? I'm still blessed to do play-by-play, but when I'm watching a game, I always have a pad, a paper, and a pen next to it, and I'm like, oh, that's a good catchphrase. Yeah. I might incorporate that in the next broadcast. Do you hear something, you see something, you put it in your phone real quick? Do you have a tablet? Or, I mean, where does that go from that thought to?
I'll give you an example. I'm not trying to name drop, but y'all know who John Prine is?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Bruised Orange.
Yeah, I used to open up for him a lot, and I became friends with him. And one of the nights after we did a show together, he invited me. This is the kind of guy he was. He invited me and the three guys that were sweeping off the stage, janitors. He invited us to come to his suite after the hotel to have ice cream. And so, of course, I went, and I was sitting up there eating ice cream with John Prine, and I was like, I'm the luckiest man in the world. This guy's a songwriting legend. And so the next day, I was so excited about what happened, I went on Facebook, and I said, hey, y'all, I got to hang out with John Prine and eat ice cream. And right when I posted it, his manager called my manager and said, take that down immediately. He said, John is a severe diabetic, and his wife is going to kill him for eating ice cream.
I love it.
And so the song Life is Just a Vapor, that's a scripture in the Bible, and I tied it in with what John and I did. And the first verse of the song Life is a Vapor, it says, me and John Prine was eating ice cream at the Doubletree Inn, Suite 1019. Don't tell Fiona, she won't understand. Life's just a vapor. Let's live it while we can.
Amen.
Wow.
That's the answer to your question.
Yeah.
A moment that I lived, or a little snippet I heard, or a little thing I did, or somebody else did, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, and if Paul's wife's listening, we did not feed him sausage egg McMuffins today.
No, but you put in front of him.
Not so far.
Dangling the carrot in front of Paul.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about this new release, and about it's a perspective piece, isn't it? From, you said, I believe I read about it being a sort of 60-year-old, this sort of encapsulate what it's like to be 60, because when you get 60, and I'm there now myself, you and I are the same age, you're a little older, you realize I'm on the back nine, dude.
Absolutely. You know, when my first record came out, most all that record was about a beautiful blonde I was in a relationship with. But when you're 60, you ain't in that same season of life. And, you know, you're reflective and you see what you've came through. And that's where my music now, it's not about, you know, lipstick and pantyhose. Ain't none of that in my songs anymore. It's about the frailty of life. But not in a negative way. It's like the song says, life is just a vapor. Let's live it while we can. That's what the lyric in the song says. And that's where I'm at now. So it's more introspective, and it's more about looking back and looking ahead. But what you're looking ahead at ain't what you used to look ahead at. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Makes a ton of sense.
So live in the moment.
Yeah. Well, you've done a lot of things in your career, but you've never done this. You got to sit in with us for this date in history.
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm ready.
Where we travel back in time to this date, February 14th, the year was.
You want it, Paul? You want to do the first one, or you want me to take care
you
of that?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. 1960 was the year. The second Daytona 500. We're talking about Brian earlier over there in Daytona. Junior Johnson survived a 37-car crash on turn four, and he went on to win the Daytona 500.
1966, Rick Mount of Lebanon, Indiana, became the first high school male athlete to be pictured on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
He could shoot lights out, man.
Former Memphis Sound.
Yeah, played at Purdue.
Yeah. All right, you want one?
Yeah. 1987, Detroit Pistons, Philadelphia 76ers game draws crowd of 53,745 at Pontiac Silverdome. Pontiac. Third largest crowd in NBA history.
It's no biggie. Yes, that'll wait, Paul. Well, he's used to having 53,000 plus at his concert, so that made it easy for him to talk about.
And now y'all know I can read.
It's another level. He continues to raise the bar. Paul Thorne.
I defeated dyslexia.
Yes.
I read slow, but I can read.
There you go. Bottom line. This is a bottom line bunch of guys here.
Tell you what you can do. You can write, my brother.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
Geraldine and Ricky is one of the first of two early releases on this new album. And I just think that's a hilarious song. And tell everybody what it's about.
Okay. Geraldine and Ricky, when I was growing up, were a ventriloquist evangelical duo. Geraldine was this lady who had a dummy, a ventriloquist doll named Ricky, and she would go around the state of Mississippi and Alabama doing revivals, and she would tell people about Jesus with this dummy, and it was very effective. And I always wondered what happened to her, so I did a little dive on the internet, because this is when I was like five. I'd see her in church doing this thing, but I looked her up, and the only thing I could find was the highlight of her career was she got to be on the Bill Gaither Gospel Hour. Mm. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's big, yeah.
Beyond that, I couldn't find anything about what her life was like. So I made up this fictional story about Geraldine being a toxic, abusive woman, and Ricky is the victim of all of her horrible things.
Poor Ricky.
Mm. And in the song, she meets a rich dying man, which is what all women want. They want a man that's old but dying. That way they can get that money after he dies. So she in the story of the song, which is fictional, she marries a guy who's rich and dying. But then it don't go right, and the old man is dying, winds up with another woman, and then so Geraldine winds up in a bad place. Her hair falls out.
Yeah.
She goes insane, and Ricky, who she threw in the garbage can earlier in the song, gets rescued by this real nice lady who gives him a nice home and a nice life.
What do you know? It's on. We got to roll. We can't thank you enough, my brother.
Man.
Great stuff.
This is an hour I'll never forget.
Thank you, Paul Thorne. Everybody.
Yes.
Go see you March 1st in Columbus and get the album next week, y'all.
He lives in a box by the VCR. Every weekend she puts him in the car. Spreading good news, going church to church. A ventriloquist duo doing the Lord's work. She pulls him out of a burlap sack. She puts her right hand behind his back. Throwing her voice while pulling on a cord. Telling clean jokes and teasing about the
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding two March auctions, a spring equipment auction Thursday, March the 20th in Greenwood, plus a retirement auction at Ewing Farm in Anguilla on Thursday, March the 13th. Visit mdauction.com for details on both. That's mdauction.com. We'll see you there.